From KUAR News in Little Rock, I'm Daniel Breen. Last summer, authorities in Springdale raided the home of an elderly woman and arrested her 60-year-old son. By then, folks knew him as Ken Anderson, but his name is Stephen Dishman. He'd escaped from the Arkansas prison system more than three decades earlier in 1985. Arkansas Public Media's Bobby Ampazon got an exclusive prison interview with Dishman and has this profile.
The news of Stephen Dishman's arrest last summer invited comparisons to a well-known Hollywood fiction.
The Fugitive.
He's been on the run for 32 years, basically playing the old Richard Kimball part where just eluding the police and he's right underneath their nose.
That's Dishman's lifelong friend, Dennis Dablemont of Springdale. But Dishman, unlike Richard Kimball, wasn't innocent of committing a heinous crime. He was guilty. Guilty of burglarizing the original Muskrat Roadhouse and Saloon in 1979. And he wasn't seeking justice, he was just lying low.
An escaped inmate hid in plain sight for over three decades.
In the northwest part of the state, a sudden end to three decades out of jail for Stephen Dishman.
On the left is Stephen Dishman, back when police arrested him three decades ago for theft and burglary.
Today, Dishman is housed at the Ouachita River Unit of the Arkansas Department of Corrections, a unit that specializes in medically infirm and special needs inmates. He agreed to an interview with Arkansas Public Media, but he said he's a little self-conscious about his speech. You see, Dishman suffered a stroke years ago that's left him partially paralyzed.
I'm slightly nervous, so...
Yeah, well, so am I.
We're in a small meeting room off the warden's office inside the Ouachita River Unit. To the inmate's right is Corrections Department Public Information Officer Solomon Graves. I asked Dishman to describe a typical morning. He was not expansive.
Chow call at 3:30 a.m. We go to chow, eat breakfast. We come back about 30 minutes later, and we go to bed, sleep till chow, noon chow.
Dishman just turned 62. For more than half of his entire life, he was Ken Anderson, a man frequently pictured among Arkansas's most notorious prison escapees and fugitives, but never identified. The whole time, he was living in a home in Conway, working off the books. Aided by a longtime girlfriend and housemate we know only as Debbie. Here's Dennis Dablemont again.
And you ought to hear some of his stories of being in a vehicle when a police officer pulls somebody over and asks IDs, and how he's managed to get by for 32 years whenever he doesn't want to go back to walking away from a work release escape.
6 years ago, Dishman, as Ken Anderson, received a brain operation at the University of Arkansas for medical sciences. That operation and a subsequent infection is the reason for Dishman's partial paralysis. According to Dishman and Dablemont, we can't confirm this with the hospital.
How do you get a $50,000 operation under an alias name? And this is a TV show.
In 1985, less than a year into a seven-year sentence, Dishman was assigned to a work detail. He was still a prisoner of the state, but he worked days at a construction site in the city of Benton.
They had me pouring concrete slabs in a construction site for ADM, heavy trucks. They brought me to work one morning, and I took off.
But describe that for me. They brought you to a work site where you're pouring concrete?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell me exactly what happened.
Well, I jumped a chain link fence, and I walked early that morning off the job site down a street, and I followed the railroad tracks all the way to Conway.
You literally walked from Benton in Saline County, along railroad tracks until you got to Conway.
Yeah.
It's about a 45-mile...
Mm-hmm. Yep. 35. Give or take a mile or two. Yeah.
He believed he had an hour or two before a supervisor would notice he was gone.
Did you tell your fellows, hey, I'm going to walk off,
no.
Please don't say anything?
No. It's come to... I came as a surprise to them. It came to the surprise of a Benton worker release.
In Conway, he stopped. It felt far enough from Benton and farther still from Springdale, where he grew up and where the police would remember him.
It was a nice little town at the time. I got into unlocked RVs on side of people's houses to get my sleeping bag and some food. And I never broke in to them. I always find them unlocked. And it's amazing how many people leave their RVs unlocked. Now I wouldn't do it because of today's surveillance cameras, and it got cameras everywhere, and I wouldn't do it today. I wouldn't do a lot of things today. Back in the 1985 was basically back in the Stone Age, for no cell phones, no computers. They had me on TV, but you remember then, TV news only lasted for 30 minutes, and then national news come on after that.
Dishman only traveled at night at first. He pulled his dinners from the garbage.
Bread store dumpsters. I raided the dumpsters behind KFC and Church's Chicken. They threw away their surplus chicken they didn't sell at nights. If people didn't take it home with them, they put it in a dumpster. Very well.
In his 1984 mugshot, Dishman has hair below his eyebrows and over his ears, and a full beard. It was easy to cut his hair and shave his beard.
As I said, they didn't have cell phones or computers back then. They had to remember me from that moment in the newspaper. If they had my picture, or if they had my picture on TV, they had to remember that moment.
Well, you understand the headlines. I mean, the sensationalism, I mean, there is some fact to it, but he lived in Conway there for several years. And had they wanted to get him, they could have gotten him at any time. And then when you find out the soap opera story about the getting the tumor and getting paralyzed and the whole story of the Springdale police swooping in and capturing a 32-year fugitive where the guy's half paralyzed, his face is hanging down, and he can barely get around. So it's hardly one of these, we've captured Arkansas's most wanted fugitive.
Dishman didn't want to speak much about the ways he'd slipped the law or his own identity. He said only that he never tried to obtain a driver's license or a job that couldn't be paid under the table.
It all starts with a birth certificate.
He painted houses and laid floor tile and washed and detailed cars,
and
he said.
Birth certificates, you could build your way up to those things under assumed identity. And I didn't have the knowledge or know-how to acquire a birth certificate. All I knew is you find a person that died early in life, and there is no paper trail of that person because I died so young. But I didn't know how to go about it.
About a dozen years after his escape, a local television station did a special report on Arkansas's escaped prisoners, and they advertised it for days leading up to it.
And I was dreading it. Every dang time, I was dreading it. And it got to the news, and it got to the segment of people who escaped from prison, and 9 people total. And they had me on there. I sat and watched my picture on the TV on Channel 7. And it didn't look like me. I had a beard. So.
In the photo, you had a beard.
Yeah. So, me and Debbie said, "You're safe."
According to a state police report, it was Debbie. Her name is redacted in reports, and we only know her by her first name, which we've confirmed, who alerted authorities in the spring of last year. The couple had separated. Dishman returned to live with his elderly mother. He says he walked away from the relationship in order to give Debbie space to pursue a new relationship that offered her stepchildren and a family.
She said that if we got married in 1990, we'd still be married today. She wanted to get married and have kids, and I deprived her of that because of my situation.
Police investigators and the Faulkner County Prosecutor's Office say the breakup was more fraught for Debbie than all that. A state police report made last summer says Dishman, after the breakup, threatened to kill her and then himself.
Yes.
Here's Mother Shirley Jones by phone from Springdale.
I hated the reasons. I hated all of that. I was happy to have him back. Because that's the only child I have. Do you have any children?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Okay. Consider yourself lucky then, in a way.
It was Debbie who, after more than a quarter century, finally gave him up. But she asked authorities not to seek additional charges against him for threatening her life. According to authorities, Dishman threatened Debbie for years that if she outed him, she would go down too for sheltering a known fugitive.
How many years did you hold off telling her?
She knew it before we got together.
How could you trust someone that much?
Because we loved each other. Loved each other.
Our conversation inside the Ouachita River unit was cut off after 1 hour. Prison Communications Director Solomon Graves said Arkansas Public Media could put in another one-hour interview request. We did, but after a few weeks, Dishman wrote to say he was postponing any interview for health reasons. We wrote three more times to Dishman inquiring after his health, but never got word back. Through Graves, we asked to speak to the warden at the Ouachita River unit. We got no response. According to the Corrections Department, Dishman is eligible for parole in 1 year. His lawyer, James Evans Jr. of Springdale, said he's petitioning the parole board for an early release, given Dishman's poor health, his time served, and yes, his good behavior. Meanwhile, the Saline County prosecutor who could charge Dishman for walking away from the Benton work release in 1985 won't pursue that charge. Again,
actually,
Dennis Dabelman.
I'm his only ally. I put money on his phone account. He calls me every week. I've sold most of his assets so that we could afford a lawyer to take his case and try to get him out early on a medical discharge. I mean, his mother's about to die. He's about to die. It's really a sad TV soap opera.
In Little Rock, Bobby Ampazon, Arkansas Public Media.
But, you know, you can't really judge anybody because, like you said, you and I are guilty of the same things.